Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive number one, number two employee. Leave a message at the... Hey, Jamie, it's me, Jamie. This is your daily pep talk. I know it's been rough going ever since people found out about your a cappella group, Mad Harmony, but you will bounce back. I mean, you're the guy always helping people find coverage options with the Name Your Price tool. It should be you giving me the pep talk. Now get out there, hit that high note, and take Mad Harmony all the way to nationals this year! Sorry, it's pitchy.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The Great Gap Sale is here. Get up to 75% off in stores and online from June 21st through July 9th. Plus, don't miss great offers on logo styles from $7.99. In stores only from June 21st through the 23rd. Exclusions apply.
You are listening to Sean Harrison on Amp Live Talk Radio, a place for amputees and those dealing with limb loss. The views expressed on the show by the host, co-hosts, and guests are their own. Always seek medical advice from a licensed medical professional.
And welcome everyone to another episode. Well, over here in Modesto, we got the heat acting up and tearing up my show and messing up everything for me. But you know me, I press forward. No matter what, I keep going. So we always have backups to the backups. So tonight we do have a guest who's been so patient with me, and we had some mix-ups on time zones because I don't know anything other than California time zones, but we managed to finally connect and get everything sorted despite the internet going crazy this evening. We're a little bit late, so you guys are getting the post show that we're getting pulled off here. But either way, I'm really excited to bring you someone who I think has a lot to offer. And I think he's a very special individual that I think you're really going to enjoy his show. And I think you're really going to enjoy what he has to share with us tonight. Some of you may have seen his story. I know I saw some of his stuff in the news clippings that I've keep up with and watch. He is a serviceman and he's a Marine. His name is John Peck. He's a sergeant in the Marines. And John has a very special story that he's going to share with us tonight, which is his story. And I think he has a lot to offer. And I hope you guys will really enjoy the show tonight. And I hope we all will walk away with something from the show. And tonight, John, are you there?
Yeah.
So welcome to the show. That's the first thing. Glad that you
absolutely. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, we're able to make it despite all of our technical difficulties. First, I guess what I would like to do is just have you introduce yourself.
Yeah, so I mean, you basically got it. Marine sergeant, was in the military for 7 years. Decided it was best for me to medically retire after I suffered. Two IED explosions. The first one was in Al Anbar, Iraq in 2007, and that was a traumatic brain injury where I lost 21 years of my memory, short-term and long-term memory balance, and I still suffer from vocabulary recall. Mm-hmm. And just actually physically saying the word. 2 years of therapy and re-enlisted, and then in Afghanistan in 2010, I stepped on an IED and lost all four of my limbs. A lot of other complications, including a bout with a flesh-eating fungus that ate my whole left leg. Like, I mean, I was amputated on my left leg below the knee all the way up to my hip was amputated because of this flesh-eating fungus. Ate the first layer of my abdominal muscle, my bicep, and my left arm. I mean, it was just tearing me apart.
Wow. So, man, that just thank you for your service. I also want to thank your wife, Jessica, for, you know, the wives have to put up with just so much. I know my lady. She puts up with me so much. She puts up with some of the stuff that I do. But I, from the bottom of my heart, thanks for your service and our sacrifice for what you have done for us to be able to have the freedoms that we have. When you went through your first one, did you ever have doubts about going back?
No, but it was kind of funny because it was like, I told my mom at that point, I was like, I think if I go to another war zone, I'm coming back really messed up, or I'm not coming back at all.
Wow.
And it was kind of like ironic and very like foreshadowing. And then, believe it or not, while I was in Afghanistan, me and my corpsman, we were having a talk one day. We're just, you know, kind of like shooting the shit and playing cards.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we had a few days of R&R. And we got into like a serious, dark, twisted conversation.
Yeah.
I mean, you have a Marine and a Navy corpsman. I mean, usually our conversations are sick, mm-hmm. twisted, dark, or include beer and women. Usually, especially with infantry and our corpsman.
Yeah.
And we were talking about amputations and getting injured. And I told them, I was like, dude, if I lose my legs, it's fine. I'll just roll around in a wheelchair all day. But if I lose my arms, like, just pull out your 9mm, press it against my temple, and blow my brains out. Because
mm-hmm.
how does one function without arms?
Yeah.
And after I got injured, and after he put me on the CASAVAC, he, like, felt so guilty because he thought I was actually, like, legitimately serious.
Mm-hmm.
about him killing me. And he's like, dude, I'm so sorry. And I'm like, what are you talking about? He's like, you told me to kill you. I was like, I'm glad you didn't. Thank you for not doing that.
Yeah.
I think you would have gotten in trouble if the lieutenant saw you pulling out your 9mm and you're about to pull the damn trigger. I'm pretty sure you would be in really, really bad trouble.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm glad that you didn't. Like, I'm glad that I'm still here.
Mm-hmm. See, that,
weird conversations have happened.
That's something that I want to touch on because, so I work in the industry. I work for Hanger Prosthetics, and
okay.
I'm a patient advocate manager. So I go out and I deal with a lot of the peer support, the emotional aspect of patients losing their limbs, just coming in, talking to them, helping them gain perspective. So something you just said right there is what I want people to hear for someone in your situation. You're glad that you're alive. You're glad he didn't. So when we deal with people, they lose an arm, they lose a leg, and their life's just shattered. They're just done. Mm-hmm. I don't want to live. I don't want to go on. And I try and tell them, I'm like, you just lost a leg. I mean, you're below the knee. You still got your joint. You're still going to be able to get up and walk and do things and have a life. And they just can't see that. And having someone in your situation say what you just said, that is what people need to hear, because people need to understand where that comes from. And where does that come from with you that, you know, hey, no, I want to live. I want to still be here.
So, like, at first, though, I got to admit, like, not doing a plug-in for the book, but, like, in the book, like, I mentioned, like, you know, it's not always, like, unicorns and rainbows with me. It's like I did have my dark spot. And it's, you know, it's fine. We all go through this. Like, everybody, if some person, and I say person because it's not always military, I've met moms or wives of their husbands served in the military. Now they're at Walter Reed because of it. And it's like, oh, I lost my leg. And I was like, oh, shit, like, what happened? They're like, oh, I lost it to cancer. And they're like, oh, but you're such an inspiration. I'm like, are you serious?
Yeah.
I lost my stuff because of an IED. You freaking survived cancer. Like,
mm-hmm.
in my whole chart of injuries, like, cool, I lost all four of my limbs, whoop-de-doo. But you survived cancer. Excuse my French, but you're one badass chick. Like,
yeah.
Don't ever call yourself, like, a paper cut. Because a lot of people will be like, oh, you're missing a single leg or single arm. You're fine. You're nothing compared to me. No, I don't do that paper cut game.
Yeah.
And like I said, it's okay to be depressed as long as you don't stay in that rut.
Mm-hmm.
And then as a military man, we are, as a man in general, we're told to swallow our feelings and just swallow them and put them in our gut and don't deal with them. And that's what guys do. And it's not good. it's okay to do that for like a few months or a few years until you get, seeing that my TBI is going to kick in, acclimated. There we go. Mm-hmm. Acclimated was what I was looking for. Until you get acclimated with your situation, until you can accept your surroundings and you can accept your situation, then you need to go handle those feelings. And for me, my injury is not what set me into my dark spot, my suicidal spot. It was actually a combination of my injury plus on top of it a horrible ex-wife said a lot of buku bad stuff, and I only refer to her as the four-letter word that all women hate. And yeah. I tell women, they're like, oh, how dare you call women that? I'm like, as soon as I tell them what she did, they're like, okay, she deserves that.
Yeah.
She... So I tell guys, like, it's okay. Like, just put those feelings aside for a little bit. Deal with your current situation. But then you do need to come back and you do need to deal with those demons. Otherwise, it's going to come up one day, like you're going to go through a horrible relationship and all those feelings are going to come back.
Wow. Yeah. You're hitting on something that I talk to people a lot about, which is when they're new to the amputation, don't try to eat this big sandwich all in one bite because it's going to overwhelm you. You need to take small bites, and I try and tell them to break it down into phases. You just been amputated. You need to heal first. You need to deal with just taking care of yourself, physical therapy, rehab. Get those things done. Then we'll move on to the next phase when it's time for that. And I find that a lot of people just try to take too much on the whole thing all at once, and it just overwhelms them, and it depresses them, and it just puts them into a really bad, you know, state, emotional state. So hearing you say it, what you just said, I thought that was probably key for people to be able to hear, you know, the paper cut game. That's great. You know, you don't play the paper cut game because a lot of people do that. You know, oh, man, you know, I see you and, oh, my goodness, you're such an inspiration. I'm like, what are you talking about? You know, and then when you start talking to these people, you hear, oh, well, you know, I'm a cancer survivor. Like, well, dude, what I'm dealing with is nothing. You're dealing with cancer, man. Like, are you serious? So,
like, it's not like my amputation is going to come back and it's not going to be like, oh, my God, my amputation's growing. Now I have to amputate more of my leg. Like, my shit's done. And like, the only thing I have to worry about is like pressure sores on my butt.
Yeah.
But at any point, your cancer can come back and it's like, oh, I got to go deal with chemo and hopefully I'll survive it again. Like, I hate this mentality, especially around the wounded warriors. And I've heard other quad amputees refer to somebody who's missing a single leg or two limbs like, you're paper cuts compared to me. And there were times where I wanted to say something, but at that time I was still in the military and they outranked me. Now I have a voice. Now I can say kind of what I want. And I've talked to a sergeant major. And again, I'm using, because I know this lady, this mom. She's actually a mom of, my buddy was a double amputee, a Marine. Mm-hmm. He actually got married to a Red Cross volunteer that worked at Walter Reed. But now her mom is at Walter Reed because she lost her leg to cancer.
Oh,
and she was below the knee. And the sergeant major, who was amputated above the knee, called her a paper cut. And I looked at him and her, and I was like, ma'am, I will never refer to you a paper cut. I'm a damn quad amputee.
Yeah.
I will never look down at somebody and be like, oh, you're only missing one leg. Oh, you're only missing two, three, whatever.
Yeah.
Like, I looked right at that sergeant major and I was like, you don't know how she lost her stuff.
Yeah.
Like, cool, you lost yours in an IED. That's really traumatic. But don't think you're Mr. Hot Shit just because you lost yours in an IED. Come to find out, she's like, later, she's like, yeah, I lost my leg thanks to cancer. I'm like,
yeah, you can't.
You're badass.
Yeah, you can't underestimate people's pain and what their journey. And I think a lot of that does happen when you start looking at above the knees, below the knees, arm amputees.
Yep.
People do that a lot with these social groups. And I try and tell people, you can't. Your journey is your journey. That person's journey is their journey. So you can't compare apples and oranges. So that's a good perspective to bring to things. For someone like yourself to say that and to bring that to the forefront, that's awesome, because you are hitting on something that I think that a lot of amputees are, how can I say, they're not aware and sensitive to other people's situation. So they can say some things that you don't know that person's struggle. You don't know what they're going through. You don't know what led to that limb loss. So we have to be very careful.
Even some people have said, oh, you know, quad amputation is the most critical injured. I'm like, yeah, we are up there as far as like the level of injuries. And I'm like, oh, but you know, it's not the worst. And they're like, how is it not the worst? I was like, so let me get this straight. I lost all four of my limbs. We all know that. Cool. Clear. Like I lost my arms and legs. I'm kind of like whoop-de-doo. But let me put it like this. Guys who are paraplegics, can they move their legs? But they have their legs.
Wow.
What about quadriplegics? They still have all their stuff, but they can't move it. And I get up, like I'll move my like my right leg, and I don't have my left leg because of the hip. It's completely gone. And I'll move my arms. I was like, do you see what I'm doing? I'm moving my stuff. Like, they're not able to move it. So don't, like, say, like, a quad amputation is the worst injury out there, because it's not. There's guys who are, without getting into too much detail, there's a guy here at Walter Reed that he's been here since 2011, and he's missing one leg, but he rides around in an electric wheelchair because he has motor function issues, speech issues. It's almost like he has cerebral palsy, but it's not. He suffered a really bad traumatic brain injury. And I'm like, yeah, he's missing one leg, but with all the other stuff that he's got going on, I'm sorry, but I think he's more like injured than I am. And I'm grateful that I'm just a quad amputee.
Yeah.
I was like, this is why I don't do that whole, oh, paper cut. Like, oh, you're only missing one limb. Like, cool.
You're hitting on stuff that I think that definitely, you know, it's weird because only amputees, people with limb loss, can go down the road that we're going. Because if you don't have it, you can't really talk about it, and you can't really.
You can't say anything about it, otherwise you're the douchebag.
Yeah, you got to be quiet about it. And I want to make sure I say this. Dude, plug away. You can plug your book as much as you want. You can plug anything you want on my show. I don't care about stuff like that. I think everyone should pick up your book. And in fact, tell everyone where they can get your book at. Let's do that.
So it's kind of weird. I was in Boston. I had a, first things first, as I guess my official injury label would be a quad amputee with a bilateral upper extremity transplant. Mm-hmm. Fancy words for meaning I lost all four of my limbs, but now I got somebody else's arms attached to me.
Okay.
And as anybody knows with the transplant, your body recognizes the transplant, whatever part, as a foreign material. So your body naturally tries to attack it. And when your immune suppression meds don't always work, you get these little bouts of what's called rejection. Well, I've been having rejection since September of last year.
Wow.
Not trying to go into too many biological details, but right now I don't really have an immune system. So I really shouldn't have rejection, because if your immune system's not there,
you shouldn't
be rejecting arms. So it's really weird situation. But about 3 weeks ago, believe it or not, or I'm sorry, I've been in bad shape. For the past 6 months, I've had a bacterial infection in my mouth. Again, no immune system. A bacterial infection in my mouth, which is called thrush. Mm-hmm. It caused necrotic tissue in my mouth, and it was dead skin that was just hanging there, and it just eventually one night plopped out. It was gross. I was brushing my teeth, and all of a sudden I felt this. I had to use this special lidocaine mouthwash, and it was this anti thrush mouthwash. It was bad. I lost like 15 pounds in 2 weeks because I wasn't able to eat. That took almost a month. And then something else happened. I ruptured my appendix on a Friday, And I didn't know I did it until Wednesday at 2 o'clock in the morning. I had so much pain and I had a high fever. I was like, babe, I'm going to the ER. Keep your phone on you. I'll just roll down there in my wheelchair. She's like, are you sure? I was like, yeah, the cold air would feel great. Like, I need it on me right now.
Yeah.
Went to the ER and they're like, yeah, I think I need you to send, I think I need you to send you inpatient. Took 2 days for them to be like, a week after I ruptured my appendix, they're like, yeah, you ruptured your appendix. We don't know how you're alive.
Wow.
Like, your body formed this abscess around the fluid. Like, without an immune system, we don't know how the heck you're alive. Because if you would have went septic, you would be dead.
Yeah.
And about 3 weeks ago, I actually was up in Boston to get my appendix removed. Even though I'm here at Walter Reed in Maryland, Walter Reed won't touch me because surgically they're like, no, you've got way too much stuff going on. We need you to go back up to Boston where you got the arm transplant and have those special people handle you. So back to your original question, where can we find the book? I thought it was in Target, but while we were in Target, we didn't see it. My wife just recently went to Barnes & Noble that's here in Rockville.
Okay.
She didn't see it there either. So apparently what's happening is just because one Target buys it doesn't mean all the Targets are going to have it. The same with Barnes & Noble and Walmart.
Got it.
So the safest bet is for people to actually contact me, or and they can contact me and I will give them kind of directions on how to get it, because I have a whole bunch of them here at my apartment.
Okay.
I'm selling them for $30 a piece, and I know that sounds expensive, and I'll tell you why. Amazon's selling them online for like $16.50, and Barnes and Noble I think's online like maybe $20. So why is my price $30? First off, I have to buy it from the publisher, and I don't get the huge discount that these Amazon and Barnes and Nobles get.
Exactly.
And what I'm doing is it's almost like $5 to $7.50 for me to ship them to individuals. And then I'm also signing the books. So you can get them cheaper from Amazon and Barnes and Noble, but you're getting a signed copy, personalized however you want it, with a name or, you know, in honor of or in memory of, whatever. And then it's also including shipping.
Okay.
So I just tell people, just reach out to my John Peck's Journey Facebook page. And I had a whole, actually, my wife, I felt so bad. She went to USPS the other day to drop off a whole crate of them.
Mm-hmm.
Took her 2 hours to fill out everybody's single address and package them up. And
oh,
I'm like,
man.
Oh my God, I'm so sorry.
Yeah, that would be brutal. So I do have it up on Amazon, but what I'm going to do is I'm going to make sure I get your details too, because I think I have your page on mine. So what I will do for sure is I'll connect with you and get that up so people know where to get the book, and I'll make sure they understand you're getting a signed copy. So I think I'll make sure I put that up with I'll actually put that up with the show when I do my edits in the morning. So this show will go up that we're doing right here, and I'll do all the edits and put that in there and make sure people know where to get all of that stuff. So
that'd be great.
You've been involved in a lot of things. I think it's Gary Sinise. Is that, am I saying his name right? He was
Gary Sinise, and I'm guessing you're talking about the house.
Yeah. So
yeah, Gary Sinise and Tunnels to Towers built me a smart home.
That's pretty awesome. I was reading a little bit about that. So I know people are probably wondering, what is a smart home? So you want to kind of fill people in with that?
So I do want to throw it out there. We no longer have that house in Fredericksburg. We decided to sell it because, you know, we were like, we had to be here at Walter Reed. And from Walter Reed to Fredericksburg, it's an hour and a half drive without traffic.
Mm-hmm.
With traffic, it could easily turn into a four-hour drive.
Oh, my.
So we weren't going to be living there for like the next 2 years. So we decided to sell it. It was a great house. It was a house that was built for me. as a quad, as a bachelor. But after I got the arm transplant and after I got married, we kind of decided, and plus well, three, we were both like, this isn't going to work.
Yeah.
So we're still looking to where we're going to build eventually. We're going to go to California for 2 years so my wife can go to a master's or get a master's in an art business degree program. And then we're going to kind of sit down and decide where we want to live permanently.
Okay.
But what is a smart home? A smart home, it's not one of those homes like in the future where like robot arms come down and like help you get dressed.
Yeah.
A smart home is basically a house that can be controlled by electronic device, laptop, tablet, phone, whatever. Now they have Amazon Alexa and Google Home. I don't like either of those devices because what I've read, a lot of spying happens. Yeah. And Facebook portal, a lot of spying happens on that.
Yeah.
I won't allow those devices in my home. But what I used to be able to do from my tablet is I could turn on any TV. I had four TVs in my house, one in my master living room, a guest room, and my office. I could turn on any lights in my house. I could open the back door, which sounds lazy, but when you're on a couch and it takes you about 2 minutes to get up, get in your wheelchair, and to go hit a button so your dogs can come in, it's a lot easier to grab your tablet, which is right next to you, unlock it, open up the app, and hit a button. 30 seconds, they're in and out.
That's pretty cool.
Open up the back door. I could open up the front door. I could adjust the climate and turn on the security alarm. I had cabinets that didn't have bottoms, but they were mechanical, and if I pushed a button on a tablet, it would come up and down.
Wow.
And I mean, it was a great house, and it just, like I said, it didn't work for me after the transplant and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So we're looking to kind of go back, and either we're going to build a house by ourselves, or I think we're going to go with the Gary Sinise Foundation.
Okay.
Yeah, this time.
Quite sure that changed a lot for you after the surgery, having a house that was built for one situation,
yeah,
and then you got into another. But that was one of the things I saw on there, and I knew that people would probably want to know about that. You've also been making the rounds on TV and doing different things there, so saw a lot of that. So
yeah,
tell us about that experience.
You know, the Fox and Friends was great.
Mm-hmm.
I absolutely love that. That was great. And after we were done, my wife was like, was that your very first time doing live? I was like, yeah, very first time. She's like, you did great. And then what happened? And then I did the radio tour, which was just a whole bunch of like, basically it was like 15 minutes for a different radio station. And it was kind of like, all right, next radio station. All right, next one, next one. And that went on for 2 hours. And that was just like, it was like the same questions over and over.
Oh,
I was like,
oh,
never again. That, I mean, I loved it because it got my story out there.
Yeah.
But oh, that, it was just one after another. And then I met Sarah Huckabee Sanders at Walter Reed when President Trump made a surprise visit to Walter Reed to visit us wounded. I think it was 2017 Christmas, and I connected with her, and I got her business card because I was like, you know, we as the wounded used to go to the White House.
Okay.
But it got shut down because I don't know why, but the previous administration shut it down. I don't want to get into it because I don't know why.
Yeah.
So I don't want to stick my metaphorical foot in my mouth by saying something stupid.
I feel you.
It got shut down, and I was like, you know, I know that the guys now would really appreciate, just, it doesn't matter what side of the aisle, just to go to the White House and see it. And she's like, all right, let's get this organized. So I got stuff like that organized, and I was like, hey, Sarah, you know, she's become like a friend.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, she went on her dad's show after I asked her if we could have a meeting with, at the time, Secretary of the VA, Secretary Shulkin, and talked to him about setting up an experimental fund surgery or experimental surgery fund, because there's guys that are at Walter Reed getting the osseointegration, or there's guys like me who are getting the arm transplant, and we're having to have either foundations help us with travel. We're having to, like, I had to raise $350,000 for the travel costs for Boston.
Wow.
Yeah, and everyone's like, oh, it's covered. No, it's not. It's not covered. I had to raise that money.
That's crazy.
Thankfully, I did.
Sean Harrison.
We were not able to do that underneath Shulkin, and I'm glad he's out of there now. But after we got done with that meeting, she went on her dad's show and she talked about courage and she talked about me. Only after meeting me once, and it was like, all right, you're one again, badass chick.
That's awesome.
But after the book came out, I reached out to her and I was like, look, I would really like to make a trip to the White House with Jess. Give your there's a young lady, Janet, that works right underneath her. I'm not sure what her title is. I don't know if she's her secretary. Mm-hmm. I don't want to say anything again bad. Like, I don't know what her title is.
Yeah.
But I was like, I would love to give you a book. I'd love to give your secretary, Janet, a book. And I would love to give President Trump a book if he's there, if he's available. Mm-hmm. And they're like, come to the White House. And, you know, we're sitting there in Sarah's office and just sitting there shooting the shit. She's like, Jessica, how are you doing? John, how are you doing? We're like, how are you doing? Like, just not press secretary to Wounded Warrior and Wounded Warrior's wife. It was Sarah, John, Jess, and Janet. That was chill. And then that day, President Trump actually had meeting after meeting after meeting. If you find out when he tweeted that photo of me, and he actually tweeted also a photo of his schedule,
mm-hmm.
he had no spare time. And we were in the Oval Office, just, again, sitting there with the Joint Chief of Staff. And, again, just Joint Chief of Staff dude, John Peck, Jessica Peck, Sarah Huckabee Sanders, just sitting there shooting the shit again. And all of a sudden, President Trump, my back's turned to the door that he entered through, and he's like, he walks in, and my chair takes a good minute to turn on.
Yeah.
And he's like, I know this young man. He comes and he faces me. And this is, I don't care what political side of the aisle you're on. He comes and faces me. He's like, Sergeant Peck, what hand is your strongest hand? I'm like, what? He's like, I want to shake that hand. Nobody ever has asked me that. They just shove their right hand like right in my face. And for me, I can't bend my elbow to shake people's hand.
Wow.
My arm has to be like stretched out, because it's just, when I try to bend my hand or bend my elbow, other joints want to move too.
Mm-hmm.
Just because I don't have that much of control. And I was like, sir, technically it's my left hand, but I would still want to shake you with my right just because of, you know, it's the right thing to do.
Yeah.
And again, not getting to Republican, conservative, or Democrat or whatever, but like in the Marines, we were taught how to read like body language, look into people's eyes. And all I saw was just love and care.
Wow.
And it was just, he made time for us, even though right next door was the president, or I don't know his title, but the president of China.
Mm-hmm.
And he just like walked out of his meeting just to meet us and sit there and talk to us. I'm like, okay. And he gave us a good 15 minutes of his time. And it wasn't like, all right, time for you guys to go.
Wow.
We were actually going to like, sir, we're going to let you go and get back to work kind of thing. Like that's a caring person.
Yeah.
And
you hear
he
that
tweeted
about
that.
Him.
Yeah. What's that?
I said, you hear those stories about him.
Yeah. And I mean, these are the stories that I wish that were out there more. It's like, I just wish that people would kind of sometimes put their feelings aside and just not be like, oh, I'm Republican. Oh, I'm Democrat. I don't like you. I don't like you either.
Yeah.
Like, just me and my wife can get along with a lot of people. But if you're too far on one side of the aisle and you can't listen to facts, or if you sit there and yell or call me a racist or a bigot, that's why I'm like, all right, you're not worth my time.
Yeah.
I feel you on that. I fought in wars. I fought with Hispanics. I fought with people like blacks. I fought with people from all over the country. Like, that, we don't look at it that way. We look at it as, you're my brother. You're my brother. Are you going to take a bullet for me? Yeah. Are you going to take a bullet for me? Yeah. We're cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, we get into fights. I may want to punch you in the face sometimes, but you're my brother.
Yeah.
And I wish that that military culture could get out there in the world a lot more.
Yeah. It changes a lot when bullets start flying and it's just you against them. You know, color goes out the door very quickly.
Color, religion, everything, man. It doesn't matter.
Oh yeah.
You're relying to that person to your left and right to handle, like, get your back.
Yeah. Yeah, you have had an interesting, man, I'm just jotting some notes down here from your talking. Very interesting. And I think that's, you know, I'm gonna say this. Most people probably remember you from you went and you threw out the first pitch at a baseball game. So I was trying to explain to somebody who I was having on my show, and they're like, who is he again? I'm like, he threw out the first pitch at a baseball game. I'm like, you know, like, I think I know him. And I'm like, you can't forget
it's
the
okay. It was a minor league thing too. Yeah. So that might have been like why a lot of people aren't like, who?
So You've shared a lot with us. One of the things that is curious to me is, how did the book come about? What made you decide you wanted to tell your story in a book?
So first thing is, I know I kind of give a lot. My wife tells me I talk too much and put out way too much detail. But if you guys read, when you get the book, read the introduction.
Mm-hmm.
And it sums me up perfectly. Because right in the introduction, first off, this book is written by a Marine.
Okay.
So it's very straightforward, blunt, you know, no, I do engage my filter, but there are a few swear words, but it's not like in the Marines we're like F this, F you, F that.
Yeah.
But there are a few swear words, and it's more to emphasize feelings, not like I said, F you, F this, F that.
Mm-hmm.
But in the introduction, it says right away, look, I'm a Marine, please expect this, like it's not going to be full military jargon. But you do need to understand one thing. I do not like the spotlight.
No.
Which I know sounds weird because I have a book, but mm-hmm. I don't like the spotlight. Whenever I get the spotlight, somebody's like praising me. I like, you'll see my stature. I'll go with like very like sitting up straight. My shoulders are squared and I'll start hunching.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll start trying to shrink as soon as I get praised. I do not like it.
Okay.
Like, I'm not here for fame. I am not here for to get rich.
Yeah.
If I get a little bit of money, cool. But I'm not, that's not the reason why I wrote this book.
Mm-hmm.
The reason why I wrote this book is because it's coming from a quad. It's coming from a dude who had a very rough childhood, single parent mom, at one point was in a women's shelter,
mm-hmm.
finally got over that, didn't like the parents' rules, moved out. I was homeless on my own at one point, lived in a car with my dog, working two jobs, decided to join the military after going into debt and after 9/11, and got blown up.
Wow.
Actually, got married, got blown up, forgot who my wife was, eventually got a divorce because of that, got redeployed to Afghanistan with the new wife, lost all my limbs, and it goes into like how I became suicidal
mm-hmm.
and depressed. And that is kind of one of the biggest reasons why I wanted to write this book. I didn't care if I got fame or monetary things. Like, I wanted to put everything out there. Like, cool, you guys see me smiling on the news. Cool, you know, John Peck's laughing and goofing off half the time. John Peck's wearing Deadpool onesie or Chewbacca onesie in Boston,
yeah.
where he's doing the Chewbacca noise. Like, that's cool. But I'm not always like that. Like, I want people to understand the real side. Like, it's not, like I said, it's not always unicorn poop and rainbows. Like, there are days where I'm like, babe, I need to play video games.
Mm-hmm.
Leave me alone for a little bit. Like, let me just chill. She's like, are you all right? Like, yeah, I'm just having a down day.
Yeah.
I had 3 months where I was down, and it was because I wasn't willing to accept it but it was starting to come. I was starting to gain the knowledge, like I was not going to be able to be a chef. My wife started realizing it before I did. Wow. And she pointed it out to me. And that's after a few months, she's like, all right, what's going on? And I told her, and she's like, yeah, I knew this was happening. Wow. She's like, but maybe you need to focus on something else until you can have that strength. Mm-hmm. And she's the one who put me on that motivational speaking path. So I put this all out in the book. Like, all my walls are out there, all my tough spots, and I just kind of show, like, I try to tell people, this is how I went about it, and if I can do this coming from a quad, not like, oh, you're, again, not like your problems are worthless, but mm-hmm. listen, if a quad amputee can do this, you can too.
No.
You just need to find a way to do it and way to get around it. Blowing your brains out, jumping off a cliff, setting yourself on fire, or stepping off that stepladder with that noose around your neck is not going to end the pain. Mm-hmm. It's going to end the pain for you,
right.
But it's not going to end the pain for your loved ones.
Right.
And that along with organ donation and, you know, all these other little things, like my own little personal touches and stuff like that, that's the reason why I wrote the book.
So everyone definitely needs to get the book. Because some, I don't want to give away too much. Because if you're into this interview that we're doing here, which you are definitely, man, deep. And I want people to be able to get the book to read. So I'm not going to ask you certain questions because I want people to get that from the book. So it sounds like you have some really good information in there about your bout with suicide and going down that road.
Absolutely.
So I want people to understand, purchase the book, read that, and I'm quite sure you're going to find some nuggets in there from John that will help you if you're struggling with that, because I come across a lot of patients who, as I'm doing peer visits and peer counseling with for amputees and or the amputations, they're struggling with that. And I can see them going down that road and trying to get them to come back and to realize living is so much better, and doing what you're thinking of doing is going to affect, it's going to have a ripple effect and a negative ripple effect on everyone that you care about. So you have to understand, you can't, you know, have that as an option. So pick up the book. Sounds like there's some really cool things in there. I have a date here staring at me, and I'm gonna say it to you, and I just want you to tell me about that date. November 11, 2012. Is that a special?
That's the date that I got my smart home.
Okay.
Yeah. And that's the date that I actually officially retired. No, I didn't really officially retire from the Marine Corps, but it was pretty damn close.
Okay.
Why?
I wrote all these notes before the show.
So gotcha. I was like, there's something else. I know that's like I can't remember. Isn't that like Veterans Day? Or isn't that Veterans Day? I'm so bad with those holidays.
That's okay. Hey, I'm
Memorial Day or something like that.
If I don't have a calendar, I won't even know what tomorrow is. So,
I think that's Veterans Day, November 11th.
Okay.
I'm so bad.
Did you have anything go down on that day? Was it a special day for you? Or
that's actually, I think, when I got my keys presented to me for my smart home.
Keys for your smart home. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah. You know what, I'm not kind of like this weird vet dude. Like, I try not to draw attention. The only reason I have two Purple Heart stickers on the back of my wheelchair is because I had President Trump's sticker on there in Washington. Like, you know, I get these bad looks. So I thought maybe the Purple Hearts would kind of deter people.
Yeah.
I eventually took it down because now people are getting attacked, and I'm not going to be a part of that anymore. But, like,
yeah.
I don't draw attention to myself anymore. And like, people go out on Veterans Day and Memorial Day and Armed Forces Day, and they get the free meals. And me, I'm just kind of like, you know, I'm just going to stay in my house. It's kind of weird when people come up to me and they're like, thank you for your service. And they just walk away. And it's like, what do you say to that?
Yeah, John.
I've learned to just say thank you for your support, because at first, when me and my wife were just started dating, people would come up and they'd be like, thank you for your service. And I'm like, shh, don't tell anybody.
Yeah.
Like, John, you got to say something else. I'm like, but it's so weird.
Yeah. I think it's tough because people don't know what to say when they see it. And I'll just tell you, back when Starbucks was giving away, you know, you could buy a serviceman a coffee, it was right after I got my amputation. I would have these little old ladies chase me with coffee in Starbucks.
Here's your coffee. Yeah, thank you.
They'd be like, thank you for your service. And I'm like, but I'm not in the military. She goes, oh, well, I paid for it anyway. And so when I would go into shopping and stuff, I'd be looking behind me, looking for these old ladies chasing me so they wouldn't give me coffee because I felt so bad that they thought I was, you know, part of the military. And I was like, I'm not. I'm really not. So it's kind of weird how, like, when you're missing a limb, everyone comes up to you and says exactly that. And it
you know what is weird is my wife, I think, I can't remember how it happened. I can't remember, but it was a friend of hers lost something. Lost a leg, and he never corrected people. He always used, "Oh, I lost," you know, he lost it, and people assumed the military. Never corrected people, and he got free stuff for it. And then we have this guy, who was a Marine, got out of the Marines, and became a Boston firefighter, I believe. And he's paralyzed now because of something that happened while he's a firefighter. And he's got Marine stickers all over him, all over his wheelchair, but he's also got firefighter stickers. He's got the patches for his dog, you know, very proud of his Marine service, and anybody should be.
Yeah.
And people come up to him and say, thank you for your service. I'm so sorry about your injury. So he corrects them, says, no, ma'am. No, sir. I didn't become a paraplegic because of my military service. I kind of look at them. He's like, I became paraplegic because of me being a firefighter. So those are the kind of people that I'm like, good on you. Yeah. Like, I know a lot of people that wouldn't correct. Or when it fixed that. And I'm like, that's awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm big on that. I don't take credit for stuff that I didn't do. But I am, I always, it's funny how, like, when you do correct them, a lot of times I get a lot of veterans, the older veterans, they see me, they come straight for me. Boom, they hit me. Mm-hmm. You know, you're a military man. I'm like, no, I'm like, never in the military. I did something a little bit different. I served, worked for actually Department of Energy, DOE SWAT team, you know, doing all the hush-hush stuff. But they always tell me, you stand like a Marine, you stand straight. And I'm like, well, you know, thanks to my coaches and my mom.
Yeah.
It's always nice meeting different servicemen and hearing their stories and hearing them talk. So I can only imagine the stuff that you get. So is there anything that you got coming up that you're going to be doing, you're going to be involved? Even though I know you don't like the limelight, but is there anything you want people to know about?
So Saturday, all the events, of course, are right by me. Saturday, I'm doing a book signing with my Simon & Schuster, my distributor, at the American Library here in D.C. And then I'm also doing a Barnes & Noble book signing, again, here in Rockville, Maryland. Okay. I'm currently talking to a major general who works with the Marine Corps Associate or Heritage Foundation, trying to get my book into Quantico and the Marine Corps Museum. Okay. And then we're going to try to get the book into PXs, like all over the world, including Quantico, which would be great. We're also going to try to get on the Commandant Dream List, which would be huge.
Mm-hmm.
But the one thing, we just got done with the book signing up in New York it's Raymour & Flanigan. They're like a big, like, furniture chain up there.
Mm-hmm.
It happened last week. We flew up to New York Tuesday. The event was Wednesday. We got a personal tour, a private tour of the National Purple Heart Hall of Honor Museum, which I didn't even know existed in New York.
Wow.
And then we had the book signing at Raymond Flanagan. Then on Thursday at 3 o'clock in the morning, we got picked up for a flight to Iowa so I could go give an actual, I'm on the motivational speaking circuit now. And so I have like the book and my motivational speaking job career, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And that was great. It was really exhausting, but it was great. But I'm actually currently trying, I am like really, really trying to get out to Las Vegas this year in August for Monster Energy Drink Annual Sales Conference, I believe it is. This would be a huge event for me.
When in August?
August 28th.
Oh, I'm going to be in.
This would be huge for me because we're talking, they're talking about like 850, like buying 850 books from me directly, not from the publisher, but from me.
Oh, man.
And then also paying for my travel and speaking fee. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I have been like pushing for this, and I would love to do this because not, again, the money would be great, but it would also get my story out there. It would also get me more notches in my metaphorical career belt. It mm-hmm. would, you know, I would get more, more practice on my speeches. 'Cause when somebody hires me for a speech, it's not just, I'm going to go in there and tell my story.
Yeah.
And for instance, I spoke at a cause gala in November
mm-hmm.
and it was about hope. And I didn't just talk about hope that derived from me. I talked about my childhood, how like it was hard for my mom to find hope when it came to Christmas time. Like, was it pay a bill or was it buy my son a Christmas balloon?
Yeah.
It was pay a bill. Or it was hope for Jessica when she was like struggling when I got my surgery.
Mm-hmm.
So I pulled from different parts of my life. And recently in Iowa, I talked about giving back. And again, it wasn't just about me. I don't just go and talk about my story. I pull from my life and I tell people like, yeah, I give back, but here's how I do it. I have my John Peck's Journey site. And I talk to people for 3 hours or for however long it takes until they're ready to pull that damn gun out of their mouth.
Yeah.
And if they're like having a hard time. Like, wow. Are you free? I'm like, are you about ready to blow your brains out? Yeah, I'm free. I don't care where I'm at. I'm free. And it wasn't just like, I'm talking, these people were like donating $10,000 for catering.
Mm-hmm.
So people probably thought I was going to talk about monetary giving back to foundations. They're like, the founder of the foundation, she came up to me. She's like, I was not expecting you to talk about mental health and giving back in that kind of way. I was like, yeah, that's how I went. You guys told me to talk about giving back. You didn't say how, but you said, we want to hear you talk about how you give back. I'm like, okay.
That's awesome. that's pretty awesome.
But I look forward to the Monster. That, like I said, that would be huge for me.
Yeah, shoot me the dates and the details on that, because I think I'm gonna be in I'm gonna be in Las Vegas. My lady sells jewelry with paparazzi.
Okay.
She's forcing me to go there, so I'll be there. I think in August, but I'm thinking the first part. But I'll definitely see if you're gonna be involved with something like that. If I can do a turnaround trip, but. Yeah, keep me in the loop with everything.
If we go, though, we're also going to be making a trip to, because Jessica's going to school, probably looking into going to school there in California.
Mm-hmm.
For an art degree in L.A. at Sotheby's.
Okay.
And we're gonna make it a combined trip. So we're going to go there. And we're going to look at apartments in Irvine. And then also she's going to go look at the campus. But the other part is her aunt works with at-risk youth.
Mm-hmm.
And we're talking like ex-gang members or kids who are illegal, who don't even know that they're illegal citizens or illegal immigrants, and they've heard my story, and they're like, I don't want to say inspired, but they're like, this dude's awesome.
Yeah.
So I want to go there and talk to them, or they want me to come there and talk to them. I'm talking to my wife. I'm like, when am I going to, I mean, I had trouble with the law when I was younger, but like these kids are like ex-gang members. Like, what am I going to resonate with? She's like, most of these kids don't know their father.
Yeah.
Most of these kids have had a very tough upbringing. Wow. You don't have to have the illegal immigrant status. You don't have to have the gang member status. But look what you had trouble with the law. You were in juvie. Yeah. You didn't know your father. So don't do the look at me now, look what I did. But maybe you can resonate with them.
Wow.
Like, look, kids, I had problems with the law too.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know my dad. Like, and I turned around. Yeah, I got blown up. Maybe not the best example, but I got blown up.
Yeah.
But look at what I'm capable of doing now.
Yeah. And I think that's what she's trying to say, is that we've all had our struggles. We've all had, you know, good and bad. You know, I never knew my dad. You know, my mom raised all of me and my brothers. But these kids nowadays, I think they're in such a different place than where we were when we were growing up, that seeing people in your situation or mine, you know, limb loss, it affects them, because I think they don't really realize their true potential. And to see someone like yourself, it's not so much as you're inspiring, it's just you're giving them hope and you're teaching them about mental toughness, grit, what it is to be able to wake up in the morning and live when everyone else is thinking, wow, how do you do this? Why do you do this? And then when you're able to talk to people and tell them how and why, you leave an impression on them, and it helps them. So I think that's where it's coming from more than anything. So,
that's what I like to do. So now trying to get out there, just tell the story and everything.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you're able to tell the story here. I've taken up a lot of your time. I'm looking at the clock.
No, you're good, man. I feel bad for you now. You got to go back and edit some of this.
No, actually, everything's good. We don't have a lot that has went bad. I mean, other than my QN, which it always does because it streams. I just sliced the beginning and put the ending on, and we're pretty much done. So a great show. I'm quite sure people are really going to want to pick up your book, because I think to really get to know you and your struggle, and especially with this journey that you're on and this path that you're still on, people are really going to have to pick up your book and find that. And I want to make sure they know where to get it at. So we need to make sure we connect. Send me some messages or emails, whatever's best for you.
Okay.
I'll put those details up with this show when I post it, so people will definitely know how to contact you. You for the book or for public speaking. And if you'll also put in there details where you're having your signings and different things like that. The podcast is nationwide. In fact, we get people all the way over in Poland listen to the podcast. So I'll make sure people have all your details and where to check you out.
So, all right, sounds good, man.
Hey, I appreciate this. Feel free to call me anytime and let me know what's going on with you, and we'll look forward to having you back on the show. But it's been an awesome experience just sitting here and just, man, it's almost like we were just sitting here just chatting over beers. So it was a very casual, laid-back conversation with John Peck. I really appreciate you taking the time and taking the effort to do this for not only myself, but for the listeners of Amp Life Talk Radio. We really appreciate it, John, you taking the time out.
Absolutely, and thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Hey, you're welcome. Anytime on this show, my friend.
All right, man. Thank you. Enjoy the rest of your night.
You too. You have a wonderful night.
Thank you.
All right, bye. So that was John on the show, and man, let me tell you, it was awesome experiencing that with him. I hope that all of you got something from that show, even though we had so many things go wrong in the beginning, but that show was definitely worth the wait and everything that we kind of went through to get John on the show. John is just, man, the guy is incredible. He's awesome. I will be posting where he's doing stuff at and some of the things he's into. So if you guys want to keep up with John, like he said, he's over on Facebook. Just type in John Peck. It typically comes up under John Peck's Journey. So check him out on Facebook. I'm going to make sure you know where to get his book. Not just get his book, but you're going to be able to get a signed copy of the book. Yes, it's a little bit more than what it is on Amazon, but when you think about, you can actually have him sign a copy to you or personally sign a copy to someone in your family and give it a personal touch to someone if you want to share this book with them. And the book really sounds really good. It sounds like he taps into some of the struggles that he had going through what he went through. And I think you will really be able to get to understand a little bit who he is and what makes him do what he does. Again, I cannot thank you enough, everyone, for tuning in to Amp Life Talk Radio, making this talk show what it is. Remember, you can check us out on Facebook, Amp Life Talk Radio, amplifetalkradio.com. You can go over there and check out the podcast. Each show is live unless we do like we did tonight. We do a pre-recorded show. But I will make sure this show is up and posted for you in the morning. I'll put my sprinkles of magic on it, and hopefully you'll be able to get this first thing in the morning. Remember, check out Rebuilding Sergeant Peck. How his body was put and how his body and soul put back together after Afghanistan. And I'm just, man, I'm blown away by that time I just got to spend with him. I really hope you guys got something from that, and it does sound like he has a lot to offer in his book. I think I'm going to be picking me up a signed copy. So you guys reach out, get that book, share it with someone, or read it yourself. It sounds like there's a lot in there for you to get. Now, guys, it's time for me to get myself up out of here. We're going on 1 hour. Man, what a good show. I'm going to close this out now. I appreciate all of you listening to Amp Life Talk Radio, a show for people affected by limb loss and even your family members, those who have to put up with us and deal with us amputees. We're so thankful for you. I cannot thank you enough. Drop me some comments, criticisms, whatever you may, over on my Facebook page. And if you get a chance, please do go over and lock us in on the website, amplifetalkradio.com. Coming up soon, I am looking to try and get a newsletter put together for you guys that I'll be producing out there. Again, I cannot thank you enough for tuning in to Amp Life Talk Radio.
Jamie, Progressive number one, number two employee. Leave a message at the...
Hey, Jamie. It's me, Jamie. This is your daily pep talk. I know it's been rough going ever since people found out about your a cappella group, Mad Harmony, but you will bounce back. I mean, you're the guy always helping people find coverage options with the Name Your Price tool. It should be you giving me the pep talk. Now get out there, hit that high note, and take Mad Harmony all the way to nationals this year! Sorry, it's pitchy.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The Great Gap Sale is here. Get up to 75% off in stores and online from June 21st through July 9th. Plus, don't miss great offers on logo styles from $7.99. In stores only from June 21st through the 23rd. Exclusions apply.